victory speech is for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild, wild, wild. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild. 21 guns, facts made of fire.
We are live before Nixon Vermis this December 13th. 2009, on the cusp of Christmas and a new year. If you were over at my Facebook, you know we are going to be talking about ClimateGate. We're going to be discussing the mysterious swirls in the sky. So much speculation out there. I'm going to put most of the speculation and wild-eyed ideas to rest. Personally, I think it's a mass hysteria program, but we'll get to that later. We're also going to be talking about Modern Warfare 2. This is Call of Duty. This is a game that I kind of grew up with. It started off me killing Nazis. And hey, who doesn't love to kill a good Nazi in a World War II first-person shooter? I dug it. I like to take sniper shots. I want to get crazy on people. But now it has turned into this dark psyops black operation program where you torture people and they do a false flag attack with a CIA operative. Now, a CIA operative has infiltrated this Russian Special Forces unit. And the Russian Special Forces unit decides, you know what? We're going to go into an airport and gun down civilians. And this isn't just the storyline of the actual game. You participate first-person style, shooting down civilians at an airport waiting to get on a plane. It starts off, and we're going to play the video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, with a row of about 20 or 30 people waiting at the mandatory slave checkpoints and then just getting gunned down. And you go through the airport gunning down innocent civilians. And then I guess the joke is on the CIA operative, because at the end of the level, the Russian operative knows he's in the CIA, executes him, and it starts a hot war with Russia through a false flag attack. These are the new video games that our children are playing. That one made $550 million in 5 days. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. What that means is it is 4 to 5 times as popular as the biggest movies that Hollywood can produce. Okay, if a movie does 100 to 200 million in a weekend, that's massive. If they can clear that in a week, that's massive. They did $550 million in 5 days. So we're going to go into that big time at the top of the second hour. Actually, our board op, one of our new guys, Ryan, he writes for DailyPwn.com. Anybody who's not a geek doesn't know what PWN means, but it's basically ownage with a geek twist. I don't know. I've never gotten into it. But he's going to come in. He's reviewed the game. He's played the game. There's even more than that. We're going to discuss that for about 20 or 30 minutes. We're also going to take your calls. But I want to start out the headlines with this leaked memorandum. Remember how Obama and the loving administration that he brought in was going to shut down Gitmo and get us out of the Middle East? But just a week and a half ago, he said 30,000 more troops, and then we'll start redacting. Well, guess what? Gitmo is going to be closing down, but it's going to be opening up in Illinois. That's right. They found a place that is willing to take these so-called quote-unquote terrorists and allow the U.S. military to have carte blanche on them. It's coming home. It's not just on a base in Cuba. It's not just at a rendition site overseas in Europe anymore. They're bringing it to Illinois. And this is a memorandum for the Secretary of Defense and the Attorney General directing certain actions with respect to acquisition and use of the Thompson Correctional Center by the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. Yeah, what a joke. The Constitution and Bill of Rights is disgusted at these military facilities where people have zero rights. And remember, under the Patriot Acts 1, 2, and parts of 3, which passed, the Military Commissions Act, and much, much more horrid legislation that we have just let pass us by, you too, America, can be labeled an enemy combatant and go to one of these facilities, never get to talk to a lawyer, never have a trial, or if you do, maybe it's a military tribunal that just runs around in circles, a kangaroo court that no one ever hears about. Coming here to the Thompson Correctional Center in Illinois. This is huge news. We're going to go over this and a ton more when we get back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Vermis. Go check us out over at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
The there is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slang test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the meteors these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the Insurgents.
And we are back live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Verma, 6 to 9 Central Time, Sundays. If you miss it, go get the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com or check us out live at prisonplanet.tv streaming. You're going to want to check us out live because I go to a lot of videos on this show because I think it's so important to point out what the news media is promoting, what their agenda is in all of this. And I haven't heard anybody, I got this off of Drudge, and it took me right to the article, anybody talking about Gitmo coming to the United States of America. Now, if it wasn't for InfoWars and Prison Planet, there's a good chance that Hardin, Montana would have started to be this type of a facility where they just bring in quote-unquote enemy combatants or they bring in foreign troops to train there by a privatized security force run by a multiple felon. This guy, Michael Hardin, had numerous aliases, 14 felony convictions, and they were more than willing to give this prison over to a privatized security force posing as police officers in the light that there would be better economic progress in the area. And as this country becomes more and more destitute and they try to impose more and more control, more and more taxes on your everyday life, carbon dioxide, folks, you'll be an eco-terrorist in the Illinois Thompson Correctional Center before you know it. They will expand. I promise you, this is not just about moving a bunch of Muslims from Cuba, the Middle East, and Europe to the United States of America. It's about militarizing correctional facilities and building the prison planet. That's why we have prisonplanet.com and prisonplanet.tv, because that is the reality of the situation. Let me continue with this document. The Secretary of Defense shall reallocate detainees currently held at the Guantanamo Detention Facility to the TCC as expeditiously as possible to the extent permitted by laws related to Guantanamo detainees and consistent with the findings in an interagency review established by Executive Order 1349-2 on January 22, 2009. The Attorney General shall, as expeditiously as possible, acquire and activate the TCC as a United States penitentiary, which the Attorney General has determined would alleviate the Bureau of Prisons shortage of maximum security cell space and could be used for other appropriate purposes. They are bringing torture facilities, open torture facilities, into the United States. If you live near this Thompson Correctional Center, you better get up in arms. You better start calling the mayor. You better start talking to the sheriff. And if you live anywhere in that state, call the governor for Christ's sakes. This is over the top, out of control, off the charts. When he said he wanted to close Guantanamo Bay, did you think that meant bring a torture facility to the United States so that U.S. citizens could be more easily put into renditions and torture facilities? Surely if you voted for him, you didn't believe that. But then again, you probably believed he was going to end the wars in the Middle East like he said he was going to. You probably believed he wasn't an establishment candidate. You probably believed that after something like ClimateGate came out, he wouldn't go to Copenhagen to try to sign your life away to a world government and a carbon tax. But the man continues to dance to the strings of the marionette pulling them on a daily basis. And yes, he speaks better than our last president. He's more upfront. He hides his true intentions through semantics and wordplay. He's good at that. They picked a very smart, well-spoken lawyer who is still really trying to figure out his own position in this whole mess. Okay? It's not a coincidence that Barack Obama is caught reading A Post-American World by Fareed Zakaria, who was recruited by Bilderberg. This newsman who was a local Washington, D.C. Fox affiliate commentator, who in the last 8 years has made his way into like the forefront of CNN. Huge best-selling New York Times promoted author, Bilderberg Group member. And last week I'm watching CNN, and they admit that this guy, Fareed Zakaria, the guy who wrote A Post-American World, sat down and had lunch with Obama just before his West Point speech, where he announced without any opposition, not before the House, not before the Senate, that he would send 30,000 more of our young men and women to possibly die for corporate and globalist interests. And then he got up there and he had the nerve, and I covered this when I hosted Alex's show, had the nerve to say the United States has never gone to war for a country's resources or imperialism. And then he played up the 9/11 mantra. He knows damn well that 9/11 was an international intelligence operation orchestrated by the very global elite that put him into office. He knows damn well that's what happened. He knows damn well that we're there for imperialist purposes, that this ain't no game, that Al-Qaeda is a joke, okay? A joke. It's a ha-ha, funny. And, you know, even Michael Moore had to eat a little bit of humble pie on the Larry King show and say, look, according to the CIA's own numbers, there's still less than 100 Al-Qaeda out there. There's no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He's like, we haven't gotten bin Laden in Afghanistan. He made the point that Mussolini and Hitler were both taken out in a shorter period of time than the boogeyman bin Laden. Isn't that a little weird, folks? You know, we can have these massive world wars in the late 30s and early 40s, and we can stop dictators in the span of less than a decade, but we can't find a bearded, 6-foot-plus Muslim billionaire who happened to be funded and working with the CIA right up until 9/11. It's weird we can't do that, isn't it? All right, we're going to take your calls coming up on the other side of the segment. But to really illustrate how this elitist system works and how really there still is royalty in this world, we cow down to the elites who really are from royal bloodlines. This is out of the Globe and Mail or Daily Mail today. Prince William to share Queen's duties. Treasury document reveals secret plan to make him the Shadow King. Look, it's not just PR stunts. They groomed this kid, Prince William, to be the next ruler of Europe. Beyond the scope of elections. Prince Philip, who of course is the Queen's brother, you know, the Queen is still pretty heavy duty. She does make decisions. She does decide policy. She has huge sway in all of Europe. It's not a coincidence that the Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands is at the Bilderberg meetings every year. It's not a coincidence. So now they're grooming William, and you could kind of see that they would be grooming William, not only because he was the older one, but he seems a little more stable than Harry, who goes on Halloween and dresses up like a Nazi, for God's sakes. I mean, talk about in poor taste. Even though he's grown up around that culture and he believes that to be the right thing and that he's at the top of the socialist food chain and, you know, he's allowed to look down on other people and it's funny to him to dress up like a Nazi, they feed that to them as they grow up, that you're special, you've been chosen. You're a ruler. You have to manage society. You have to tell humanity what it wants and make the bigger decisions. The Queen is to hand over a substantial part of her public duties to Prince William to help him prepare for the day when he becomes king, according to a confidential document obtained by the Mail on Sunday. See, they're just foregoing Prince Charles. Prince Charles is, I mean, even if he gets to swing at the plate, he's not going to be there for that long. And even if he is there, they're already setting it up so his son actually will have more power and duties than he does. Secret papers reveal that plans to ease the strain of the 83-year-old monarch and her 88-year-old husband, Prince Philip, are at an advanced stage. Oh, why did I call Prince Philip her brother, her husband, of course? And, you know, Prince Philip, here's a guy who has been accused by Dodi Fayed's father. His father, someone who's been in the elite for years and years and years, owns huge department stores overseas, is a billionaire, that he was involved in his son's and Diana's murder, and that he's a Nazi homosexual. That's not Jason Burma saying it. That's another member of the club saying it, okay? The disclosure comes despite months of denials from the palace that the queen was planning to step back from her official work in favor of her 27-year-old grandson. See, it's a culture of lying and deceit. Of course they've been denying it for months. They don't want people to be prepared for their next move. It's second nature for them to lie. Do you realize how many times a day these people lie? It's like breathing air and exhaling carbon dioxide. The lies just flow. How else could they get you to think that you need to be taxed for something that is virtually invisible and a life force in the universe? How else are they going to sell that other than just lying through their teeth again and again and again and again and again? And it excites them as they get away with more and more and more lies. And speaking of Climategate, we're going to play a clip of Lord Christopher Monckton talking to some of these, well-meaning idiots who went into his speech and started screaming at him, you work for the oil company, global warming's real. And I got to show you some of these pictures from Copenhagen. In fact, if we could bring up for the next segment, if we could bring up the picture on Reuters where a man is dressed like a penguin with a rainbow flag that says climate whatever on it. I mean, that guy, look, he has a pea-sized brain, folks. I want to be nice, but look at this man. He's dressed up like a penguin, the most apt swimming bird there is, with a rainbow flag that says climate. What are you trying to say, buddy? Yeah, there is a climate on Earth. It's real. I mean, we survive in a climate, but certainly man isn't causing global warming and killing penguins that you so affectionately dress up as. We'll be back after this with your calls. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrismBlend.tv, InfoWars.com.
Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Don't nobody know my trouble for God. Don't nobody know my trouble for God.
We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to go to your calls shortly. The call line is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. Or you can call internationally 512-646-1776, 512-646-1776. So again, we've got the documents that show they're bringing Gitmo home to the United States of America. We've got the documents now that show, yes, royalty does have power, and they are going to relinquish some of the control over to Prince William, who they've been grooming now since birth. Since birth. And again, he is a little bit more stable than his brother. The information is contained in a briefing note written by Chancellor Alistair Darling's Treasury officials about new financial arrangements for Prince Charles and his sons. Key paragraphs disclosing the reasons for the changes are blacked out. Oh. If nothing was going on, number one, we wouldn't have the documents. Number two, there wouldn't be any blacked out portions. Number three, they wouldn't have had to been leaked. See, that's why royalty has really stayed in the background. That's when Tarpley talks about the Anglo-American empire. See, the royalty never really gave up their power. They just gave up the illusion that they were in control. They still are in control. They're still heavily intertwined with the banksters that help run the world and dominate third world nations and eviscerate the economy here. I got a headline over here. Larry Summers, one of Obama's top advisors, he's saying the things that come out of these people's mouths are unreal. They defy logic and belief. Are you ready for this? Summers' own mouth, White House economic advisor Larry Summers, says the economy is starting to expand, but job creation will be slow. He then goes on to say, everybody agrees the recession is over. Really? Everybody must agree that the recession's over. Doesn't matter that on my way to go get Taco Cabana today, I had to see five people begging on the streets with signs that said, need a miracle for rent. Hungry this holiday season. The kids don't have gifts. I don't think the recession is over for them. And remember, only 3 weeks ago, not even a month ago, this is November 18th, okay? December 13th, November 18th, December 13th, November 18th, not even a month ago, Obama's out there saying that too much debt could fuel a double dip recession. Forget about the recession being over. What it really meant is we were going headed towards a depression, and we really are headed towards a depression. They just keep spending and spending and spending and spending. Today, Senate okays $1.1 trillion spending bill. Oh, we have trillions to give out. I mean, we already had that bailout that 6 months ago was reported in Bloomberg wasn't $700 billion. It was $27.4 trillion. And I'm sure that this $1.1 trillion spending bill is much, much higher than it even will let on. But they just keep spending and spending and spending. And coming up on the other side, not only are we going to go to that Monkton clip, because that Monkton clip is big, we're going to go to the Obamaville clip, where out in Colorado, these people just put up a big sign that says, "Welcome to Obamaville, the fastest growing community." And of course, it is a homeless tent city. And they replaced that sign with, "Hey, we could use some food, some canned goods, some water, anything you could give. We're living in tents, people." But no, the recession's over. Larry Summers said it. It's over. I'm sure it's over for him as the banks give out record bonuses. The ones that got bailed out. Don't believe me? Oh, look at this. December 9th, 2009, mainline article. Record bonuses at Canada's banks. And this happened in the United States too. And they just tried to levy some kind of weird tax over in the UK where they're going to take half of the banksters' bonuses. Volcker's saying it's interesting. But that's really a show. Those people are making money hand over fist. They're the same ones making billions of dollars here in the United States. Those personally billions, okay? Despite pressure in other countries, executives defend payouts on basis of Canadian sector's health. Canada's bankers are set to receive larger bonuses this year as their embattled colleagues around the world face a political uproar over pay. It just continues and continues and continues. Last year, record bonuses. This year, record bonuses. Oh, it's okay that publicly, you know, the unemployment rate is over 10%. It's really around 20%. And that's for everyone, okay? For people my age, people in that 20 to 35 bracket, oh, it's not 10%. It's not 20%. It's well over 30% that can't find a job. Good luck paying back those college loans that you were so willing to take in, huh? 80 grand for 4 years of drinking and boozing doesn't seem so great now that you can't get a job at Wendy's, does it? We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Check us out at prisonplan.tv, infowars.com, or call us at 888-201-2244.
Well, come on, all of you big strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun.
We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. All right, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. And I want to go to this clip. This is of one of the many sprouting tent cities in the late, great United States of America. And again, this isn't really Obamanomics, because Obamanomics are globalist economics in order to gut the country on purpose so that we can beg our saviors to save us with a little thing called world government. And when you read the Copenhagen Treaty, and this is why there's so many nexus points right now, the economy's going down. They want to increase taxes. They want to demonize carbon and tax you for that as well. They want to institute 1 and 2 child policies. I had to watch that crap on CNN 2 days ago. In fact, I have the Cafferty file thing right here in front of me. Well, that's China talking about how population control is key. But right after the Cafferty file, and there were people actually emailing him saying that it was a good thing. This sounds great. We can't wait until, you know, we start getting taxed to breathe. And told how many children we can have. And told how big of a home we can live in. And what kind of car we can drive. Well, that doesn't sound like freedom to me. In fact, that sounds a little like slavery. A slave state. But we'll just go on about our business. So right now, let's play the Obama tent city clip. And then we're going to get into Climategate, Lord Monkton, and what this climate scam is really all about. Population control and world government. Hit the clip.
in Colorado Springs, where it came from and why it came to be. We first showed you this Obamaville sign last night. It's at a homeless tent city near I-25 in Cimarron. News Channel 13's Marshall Zellinger live at that on-ramp where a new sign is in place.
Eric, that welcome to Obamaville sign now replaced with this. Please help. We need firewood, propane, and canned food. A plea on behalf of the homeless, but a sign not created by the homeless.
I didn't dream it up, but I thought it was a good idea.
Spencer Swan of Colorado Canyon Signs can take credit for designing this Obamaville sign and this new Please Help sign, but the idea came from someone else.
I thought it was just something to draw attention and help those folks.
Our coverage of the sign has stirred up quite a debate. A viewer sends us this email from his inbox. It's from Spencer Swan showing off Obamaville. The viewer writes, I am disgusted by the sign.
They didn't get any of the stimulus. They didn't get any of the hope and change. Life is tough for them.
On KRDO.com, Mary writes, quote, the person that had the sign made could have donated to the homeless shelter instead. Harley agrees, quote, you should have taken this money for the sign and given it to them.
He gives them money, gives them food, he gives them support.
What he doesn't give is his name, but he did write on KRDO.com, asking for more help and more items for the homeless. This new sign is much smaller and easier to miss, and actually if you're driving appropriately on the on-ramp, there's really no way you're going to see that. We don't know if someone staying in the homeless area here took down the Obamaville sign or if it simply was replaced with that smaller sign. Reporting live, Marshall Zellinger.
All right, there you have it. Again, 10 cities in the United States of America, out in Colorado. I'm seeing more people than ever begging in Austin, Texas. Small business owners going out of business in the last 6 months that have been in business for 10, 20 years just can't hang with this new economy that doesn't really bring in consumers. It just inflates the dollar, degradates its value, and then tells you everything's going to be okay. Kind of laughs about it as you can't make your home payments and you're forced into a smaller car or a used automobile. You might not be able to send your child to college or he might need a little more financial aid. But then he goes to school and does he even learn a skill? And how much is he put into the debt system for? For those still doubting that this climate pact is about taking away from you and giving to the elite, Eat Less Meat and Dairy, official recipe to help health of consumers and the planet. Oh, the planet. See, now we're so concerned about what we're eating for the planet's sake. And it's meats and cheeses, the two most delicious food groups out there. I mean, there's nothing I'll give you right now that puts heaven together. Philly cheesesteak, baby. There's nothing I like better than just like shards of beef slathered in a cheese whiz ooze that is so unnatural and tasty. But they want to take that away from me because apparently I'm killing the planet. Now, I promised you that Cafferty File article. It's right here. Population control called key to deal. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the China Daily. They're so similar. It's so hard to read them apart. Mandatory population control to fight global warming. Now, Cafferty's done some really good work, and he takes a really skeptical approach to this and says, really? Are we going to become China? And, of course, China is demanding it. Let's put them side to side. Maybe you can zoom out for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Population control called key to deal. See, it's not about just a carbon tax and world government. It's also about stopping you from having babies, stopping you from having a family, taxing you if you decide to go ahead and do it anyway. And mandatory population control to fight global warming. You know, that reminds me, guys. Why don't you bring up that John Lennon clip, too, on the Dick Cavett Show? You guys played that on Jones last week. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's where he doesn't buy into the population control argument. And, of course, Dick Cavett has a smart-ass remark. Oh, we don't need to write this second, but I want to go to it sometime in this segment. But right now, I want to go to the Lord Monckton clip, where he goes and he confronts these little Hitlerian youth that just don't get it. They don't understand what's really going on. They don't get that carbon dioxide is a life-giving gas for the universe, okay? I know they're a little too young to understand that their parents were taught global cooling, that my generation was taught that CFCs or chlorofluorocarbons were killing the ozone layer and that's why everything was warming. And then global warming turned to climate change, but it doesn't matter because they've been indoctrinated through the school systems, through the United Nations, through the propaganda that you see every day on television. When you see Al Sharpton and Pat Robertson holding hands on a couch on a beach talking about how they got to go green to save the world and they can come together, even though they don't agree on much. We can come together for climate change. So let's go to Moncton, schooling the kids. I'm going to talk a little bit with it because some of the audio is kind of cruddy. So let's hit that clip. We got that one? Yeah. So here's Moncton trying to discuss it with them. We'll get a little better audio in just a moment. And the two girls are kind of listening, but then here comes the smart ass. Here comes the smart ass.
Change, which appears to have happened all around the world. We can tell by proxy measures elsewhere. That was the first instrumentalist. And the whole of the 20th century saw an increase in 0.6.
We don't really need to listen to your explanation or the background of what you believe, because if it's true, then you should be going out and saying that, and we should be seeing a scientific consensus leaning more towards what you're believing.
It's
because
to believe that science is done by consensus. It isn't, of course.
I know it's not.
No.
But if you can disprove what other scientists have proved, I would love to see that. But until then, if you stop calling us Nazis and actually base it on principles, I would appreciate that.
You called us Hitler Youth last night.
So I did, yes. This was you,
of course. I am really offended by that. Many of my friends are Jewish.
All right, I'll tell you.
Hitler killed thousands of Jews.
And you are killing millions by starvation in the third world. And that's why I use the phrase.
And you are killing millions.
How is it climate change?
No, because there isn't any. There hasn't been any global warming for 15 years, and you know it. If you don't know it, it's easy enough to check. Just check with any of the five major global temperature data sets. They are kept by the Hadley Center and CRU.
They say the last 10 years have been the hottest in history.
Yes, except that for nine of those 10 years, we have had a rapid and statistically significant decline in temperature, which Kevin Trenberth, who is one of those who has publicly been saying what you've just said, is privately saying there has been this decline and we cannot explain it, and it's a travesty that we cannot explain it. So you have to accept...
Caught in the ClimateGate emails.
But the scientists do have two sides to this story. And that therefore it is not appropriate for you to come and break up.
You have completely insulted us by associating us with Nazis.
Well, I'm glad to say that particular phrase has gone right around the world. And now you know how you are seen when you invade a private meeting and you start shrieking.
All right, let's pull the net. Let's pull the clip. I'm loving it. Those guys don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to look at the actual data set. They don't want to sit down and watch the great global warming swindle where the co-founder of Greenpeace, for God's sakes, goes on and says, yes, of course it's a scam. You don't understand how this works. They pushed me out of the organization. A lot of these kids are trust fund kids that don't have anything to do. They don't have any goals in life. They're easily led. And that really takes me to the 900 or 1,000 protesters that were arrested at Copenhagen. They love, or detained or whatever, they love to play that up on the media. You notice that you saw it everywhere? It was on every single network. It was even on Fox. Okay, CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, you name it. They're playing that up. Why are they playing that up? Because these people are chanting for real change and people to sign on to save the world. But that really means sign the Copenhagen Treaty, give away your sovereignty, become a part of world government, and become an advocate of population control. Folks, it's not about a carbon footprint. And you should realize that from this little article and in the New York Times. Bloomberg, the Bigfoot in carbon. Now, Bloomberg, one of these globalists, the mayor, a guy who owns part of the stock exchange, the mayor of New York City, you know, no conflict of interest there. The guy who admittedly went to his little eugenics meeting this year with Ted Turner, Bill Gates, David Rockefeller, Oprah Winfrey, admittedly went there. He's flying his private jet to Copenhagen. They're saying, oh, he's a carbon hog. look, the people that are running it know that it doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference how many times they travel in a private jet or on a plane or in a car. They're going there to make sure that the tax money and the system that they're setting up right now benefits them. Them. That's why Al Gore has mansions all around the world. He travels in a private jet.
But I pay my carbon offsets.
To yourself, you criminal. Oh, my God. All right, let's go to this John Lennon clip. Him, Yoko, and Dick Cavett. And even back in, I believe this is late 70s, early 80s. It might be early 80s. I'm pretty sure early 80s. Right? Early 80s? Or is it late 70s? 1980? He died in 80, so it is late 70s. So it's, what is it, 79? It's got to be like right before he dies. That's definitely, I think that's the same jacket he was shot in. All right, I'll stop kidding around. And we're going to play the clip of John Lennon denouncing population control. Go for it.
How you, as a woman, feel about overpopulation in the world and its relation to polluting the environment.
How does Yoko feel about overpopulation? As a woman, I believe. Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is not overpopulation as people believe it to be, but it's more of the balance of things. What, you know, like food, some part of the world is wasted of food, and in some parts, you know, nobody has food. And that kind of a balance, if that is solved, I don't think we would be worried so much about overpopulation.
I think it's a bit of a joke the way people have made this overpopulation thing into a kind of myth. I don't really believe it, you know. I think whatever happens will balance itself out and work itself out. It's all right for us all living saying, oh, well, there's enough of us, so we won't have any more. Don't let anybody else live. I don't believe in that. I think we've got enough food and money to feed everybody. And I think the natural balance, even though old people will last longer, I'm sure there's enough room for us, and some of them can go to the moon anyway.
You mean you think there's enough... If it were
I don't believe overpopulation, you know. I think that's just a kind of myth that government have thrown out to keep your mind off Vietnam and Ireland and all the important subjects.
Oh, I think you're wrong about that.
Oh, I don't
And that's
care.
Why you're a failed talk show host there, Dick Cavett. That's why you never did anything after this, because you're a moron. All right, I promised I'd take your calls. 888-201-2244 or 512-646-1776. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're on the line.
Hey, can you hear me? Let me switch to... Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you good.
Oh, okay. Somebody called in about how prophecy was ultimately going to be fulfilled. And, you know, I think I understand that where Alex comes. We don't want to be a defeatist. And I do believe that the prophecy is going to happen. We're going to have a world government, but not without pockets of resistance. And those pockets of resistance will be where the victory is, that the devil will not have his world government unopposed. And the thing is, the devil's victory is going to be an interim thing. He's only going to have it for a brief span of time. And the victory of those that oppose, whether by living or by dying, is eternal. So does what I'm saying make sense? I'm not talking about, well, we're going to lose. It's going to happen. And it's like, whether I live or whether I die, you know, by standing opposed to this evil, there's victory.
Well, the way I look at it, Mark, is no matter what you believe religiously or whether you believe in prophecy or not, it is to no one's benefit outside of the very few elitists out there that control everything to have a world government based on zero sovereignty and zero human rights. Remember, these human rights are not guaranteed in these United Nations documentations. So we should be opposing it. Whether you are a devout Christian and you believe every word in the Bible and you think that Revelations is absolutely going to come true and it's coming true right now and there's no stopping world government, why wouldn't you oppose evil? I personally am not, you know, I'm pretty agnostic at best. We were talking about it earlier today, but I can see the writing on the wall that this is what these people want. This is what they're working toward. This is what their propaganda openly states. This is what their documentation shows. So we must step up to the plate. We must oppose it and we must expose it. I thank you for the call, Mark. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a question or a theory about the Georgia Guidestones.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you think that that's somehow like tied to the environmental movement, because it seemed like it came out like during the 70s, during that like time period.
Well, let me say this, okay? The Georgia Guidestones, for those that don't know, is this little monument that looks, you know, pretty pagan, pretty druidic, that's up in Georgia, and it clearly states that for the balance of the Mother Earth, the goddess out there that these Wiccans and pagans believe in, it should be about 500 million people. Now, throughout history, we were pagans before the Judeo-Christian religion really broke out into the mainline. If you read the book Ecoscience that I have next to me, there is an article up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv right now, where if you go to these subsections, they actually write that it is because of the Judeo-Christian religion that we have been polluting the planet and we need to get back to our pagan roots. And then he goes on to say, whether we call it religion or not, it has to be based in this type of belief system. So really, our lineage is longtime pagan. I mean, again, the Romans adapted pieces of Christianity or pieces of pagan religion into Christianity for the masses. Christ wasn't born on December 25th. That's the winter solstice. So we've had this in the backdrop for a long time. Why is it, though, that the most powerful, the biggest and baddest elitists out there believe in it? That's what's bizarre to me. We'll get into that and more on the other side, taking your calls. It's the Info Warrior.
For you, no letters endorsing you. Pole position in the coffin is what is costing you. The caucus bosses who control the fortunes through the mortgages of a culture with losses through and through.
But it's the rebel arms.
Godspeed with devil's charm. The shit made can switch blades in every arm. And this way we ixnay on any harm. Cause snakes play and fakes lay like hidden bombs. We march in unison. The soul is true within eternal missions with just
a lifetime to do it in. We are back at the InfoWar with Jason Vermes on the other side of this segment. We're going to have Ryan, one of the board ops, in to really break down Call of Duty, or not, is it called? Yeah, Call of Duty 2 Modern Warfare. And it's not really the second one in the series. I believe it's the fifth in the series. But again, when I was a young man, wrapping up my college career, and by wrapping up, I mean getting ready to drop out, I was playing Call of Duty 1 and killing Nazis, and it was rather enjoyable. This is back in the PlayStation 1 days or the regular Xbox days. And you'd run around and, you know, you like, I remember the last guy being like the super Nazi, and you just, I loved it. There is no bigger personification of evil to me than the Nazis that were openly eugenicists, openly racist, openly killers. And you Nazi sympathizers out there have to get with it, man. I watch Hitler in Color, and they're showing the videos of the concentration camps that apparently don't exist in some people's minds, or they were happy fun camps where everybody was, you know, in hot tubs and playing banjo and all this other ridiculous things I've seen on the internet. No, these people walk into the facility, they go through like a little corridor, and then the camera is sitting there waiting for them to come into the actual open concentration camp field. And as they walk in, it's just stacks of dead bodies. Them letting them know you're going to be in line or you're ending up on the stack of dead bodies. And some people just freak, man. They walk in and they look over there and they see dead bodies. And they're like, oh my God. The women especially, the women start bawling and they can't believe what they've just walked into. Look, I'm not getting on a train for anybody. Whether it's FEMA or it's NORTHCOM or it's the National Guard. Ain't happening, brother. All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Let's go to Beastie in Michigan. Beastie, you're online.
She got me?
Yep, I got you.
All right, cool. Hey, can we give a quick lesson to info lawyers out there on how to source documents and information?
Sure.
Okay, there was an article my brother told me about with Obama preparing a million troops for civil war. And
I've looked at this article.
Baldwin had an article on it and on, yes, InfoWars this week.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, along with cui bono being the most important question you can ever ask, the other thing you got to say is, like, you got to consider the source. Source, mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find who wrote that article that even Baldwin, who I respect, referenced, and you couldn't find the author. Dug and finally found it, and it was like this total hack named Sorcha Fall. I don't know if you've heard of that.
You know what? I found a separate one with the same exact thing, and I considered talking about it, but I didn't talk about it on the show because I wasn't sure how relevant it actually was, or whether it was real. It's basically Obama's talking to advisors, and they're saying that, he needs a million troops in the United States because civil unrest is going to happen. We're going to have civil war. Now, I found it on the EU Times. Now, the EU Times article, although it was kind of dicey, it also had a Russia Today interview with some member of Russian parliament who was basically saying the same thing. And that was the best source article I could find. And then I kind of stepped back from it anyway and said, you know what? If this is real, there'll be more to back it up later on next week, and I'll just wait a week. But go ahead.
A good point, like EUTimes.net, which Baldwin referenced and you just referenced, and that's mm-hmm. where my brother got it. Like, mm-hmm. that sounds like a reputable thing. So I was mm-hmm. like, well, consider that source. Like, is this a trustworthy newspaper? If you go onto their website and mm-hmm. click About Us, it says it was established in October of 2009.
Exactly.
And it's a clearinghouse for stuff. So it's like,
exactly.
you just got to be smart enough. You know, obviously,
I like to think I am smart enough, and that's why we didn't really cover it on the show today, or we weren't going to cover it unless somebody called in, because I couldn't find really a source on that. You know, I love Chuck Baldwin. I've interviewed him on this show, on the Alex Jones show. I think he does great work. I support a lot of what he does, but I'm going to wait on this one and see if it's actually true, see if there's going to be more coming out. I'm not saying it's not true, because believe me, there have been bigger stories than this one, but we do have to have some discernment. On the other side, we're going to talk to Ryan, but we're also going to talk to Dave and Eric. It's the Info War of Jason Burris, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. To Ryan, who has done an extensive review, is the second job to review video games on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. We're also going to be talking about the original Modern Warfare, where they really jumped the shark from historical context, first-person shooter, where you went into, you know, Nazi camps or maybe Korea or Japan, but basically mostly World War II stuff. You don't see a lot of Vietnam video games out there either, and just jumped it right into the conflicts that we have today, again, indoctrinating the youth, letting them know this conflict's going to last a long time. Remember, I started playing these games back in the late 90s. They started – really, the military started putting out Operation Desert Storm like in 2001, 2002 that went back to the 90s conflict. And it was around, I think, 2003, 2004 where you really started seeing games pop up with the modern warfare type idea, when we started to go into Iraq, when we said, yes, this is something we might be into for 50 or 100 years. All right, let's go to Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jason. Hey, man, you know what's better than a cheesesteak with Whiz?
What's that?
A cheesesteak with Whiz and American cheese.
I agree with you there. American cheese. Oh. And I like the onions. I don't like them everywhere because sometimes, you know, they don't caramelize them enough. But if you go to like Geno's or you go to Pat's, you get a good cheesesteak. Man, you're making me want one right now.
I actually make them for a living. I think I make the best cheesesteak in the world, man. I'm really good.
Yeah, are you out by Philadelphia, man, in Pennsylvania?
I'm actually 30 miles north of Philly in the suburbs, and I live in like a neighborhood. There's a lot of English people, and there's a lot of Freemasons here. It's really
It's like Freemason Central there. When we and Aaron went down for we went to Philly and then D.C. I can't tell you how many Freemasonic monuments we visited. What do you got for me today, Eric?
All right. Well, there's two things. I watched, by the way, that Jesse Ventura show is so intense.
And we're going to get to that later as well. Record numbers for a true TV show. Jesse Ventura breaking the mold. They haven't had those kind of numbers ever for a new series over at true TV. So it looks like that's going to be a big hit. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he dropped a bombshell on the 9/11 one, saying that the flight 11 was hijacked before it even left the ground.
Yeah, that is a bombshell if it is in fact true, and that was Mike Ballone who said that. And he also stated, as we know from multiple sources, that they did find the black boxes at Ground Zero. I wish that the other people didn't get the cold feet, but that is an interesting development, especially if true, that the planes had actually been hijacked on the ground and were allowed to take off. That, again, would give me the idea that this was a war game type scenario, or they would have never let them off the runway.
You know, I never told you this before, but my dad was actually a New York City firefighter, and he was there on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shook him up, man. He got really depressed afterwards because a lot of his friends died, mm-hmm. and they put him on Prozac, and he's not the same. He's a completely different person now.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that really just lost the will to live, unfortunately, after 9/11. I mean, people just can't take it when they lose their good friends of 20 or 30 years in their department, or possibly, you know, their cousin, their uncle, their nephew. And that's why the 9/11 Truth Movement really exists. I mean, if you watch that episode with Jesse Ventura, and I thank you for the call, Eric, you could see that Manny Badillo was there. You could see that Bob McElvain was there. Donna Marsh O'Connor wants justice for her daughter, okay? These are real people with real issues on the 9/11 story. All right, in the little 40 seconds, Ryan, why don't you tell people how you got the job and what you know about Call of Duty Modern Warfare real quick.
All right, how I got the job here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, basically, saw a Craigslist ad looking for a producer-director. Didn't say what it was for or who it was for, and I answered it and got the call. And got the interview, and thankfully I got the job.
And how long you been reviewing video games?
Oh, at least 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 year veteran of the video game scene. Coming up after this, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Dose. Emails about getting into this Call of Duty Modern Warfare business. They're like, oh, leave video games alone. They're only video games. Everybody likes violent video games. There's much more violence on television. There is a lot of violence on television. I, for one, happen to enjoy a bloodfest type of a game. Favorite series of all time, the Mortal Kombat series. I don't think there's a much more violent series out there. I was playing those games when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Here's the difference. When I'm playing as a ninja warrior with a skull as a head that I wrap off, you know, a scorpion perhaps, and I'm blowing fire on somebody or I'm spearing them or decapitating them, that's a game, okay? I know that I'm not going to dress up like a ninja anytime or be Liu Kang with a flying bicycle kick and fight some guy then rip his spine out, okay? Not going to happen. However, when you have a first-person shooter that's really targeted, the demographic is anywhere from 12 to 35, okay, and you promote it to young kids and it's realistic violence, now you're actually going through a desert and you're killing terrorists. And again, that line is blurred. I mean, is this Al-Qaeda we're fighting? Are this the Taliban? Are these insurgents? Is this the Mujahideen? It all gets lumped in together. And now they've taken it one step further past just these conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq into false flag terror. And that I want to cue this up for PrisonPlanet.tv. Make sure the audio is dead so we can kind of just talk over it. But here is the controversial level. And this is really just one of the controversies in the game. Now, as I understand it, Ryan, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have a CIA agent. Now, he's infiltrated a group of Russian intelligence black ops group, correct?
Correct.
And this is one of the first levels in the game. And the Russian intelligence guy tells him, look, we're going to go into this airport. We're going to do this black op. We're going to kill all these people. Now, the CIA guy goes along. And here's the scene right here. Everybody's sitting there in line just waiting. And then, boom, civilians violently gunned down in a graphic fashion. Pools of blood, people crawling on the ground. And you'll see that. And keep this running as we talk, guys. I want people at PrisonPlanet.tv to see how gruesome this really is. People begging for their lives. And you walk up to them, innocent civilians, not combatants, not armed insurgents, and you're gunning them down or you're hitting them with the butt of the gun. You're killing them.
Right. And one thing you'll notice from the beginning of the clip, everyone just kind of looked over just curiously, like, what are these people doing? They thought they were, you know, just regular cops. They were making a bust or what have you. But then suddenly everybody opens fire.
And here's the guy crawling right here. He's right. Crawling. He looks down. He doesn't even waste a bullet on him. He just kills him.
Absolutely. And the thing about this game is you can opt out of this level. You can say, I don't want to have anything to do with this level, and it'll skip it. But when you do play the level, you don't have a choice but to take part in the bloodshed. You can choose not to fire, but there's really no ethical choice in this game. And that's what really caught me is a lot of games will have ethical choices. You can be the good guy or the bad guy, and it's all dependent on what you do. But in this, you're following them around, and you really don't have a choice. You have to take part in this play.
And it's a pretty realistic airport. Right now, you're in one of like the food centers. And again, these people are trying to hide, trying to not be noticed, running out of the way. So this guy's trying to take a dead body out of there, and he gets gunned down. All civilians. Almost nobody is armed in this level. And then the joke ends up being on the CIA guy. See, games are now getting savvy. They're using false flag terror as part of their storylines. So what happens to this American CIA agent at the end of this level?
Well, basically, he goes into the back of the van, the getaway van, and on his way in, he gets his head blown off, essentially.
He gets his head blown off, and they leave his body at the site. Now, this is what's so interesting. When Hitler wanted to start a hot war with Poland and invade, what did he do? He dressed up Nazi forces in Polish uniforms, gunned them down on the border, left them for dead there, then brought the press and said, "See? The Poles are coming into our country. We have to stop them." And that's essentially what we're seeing here. This is supposed to be an American black op on Russian civilians, but it's not. It's an excuse for Russia to start a war with the United States and invade the shores, correct?
Correct. And there's a phrase that they use in here, and I'm sure it'll come up later on in the clip, where he says, this won't send a message, when they're referring to the bloodshed in the airport. This will send a message, and that's when he shoots him. So it's basically an obvious setup just to incite a war between the two countries, and they're doing it by killing the CIA agent.
Absolutely. And then later on in the game, there's some other clips. We may or may not play those, but you can go to dailypwn.com to see those. You have three clips up there. Daily PWN, and just look for the Modern Warfare 2 stuff.
Right.
Now, there's a point where you get a high-value target. You kidnap this guy. And what do you do with this guy once you kidnap this high-value target?
This is in a previous version of Call of Duty. It's actually in Modern Warfare 1, the original, Call of Duty 4. Mm-hmm. They get a high-value target.
Hold on, which is all based in the Middle East, by the way.
All based in the Middle East. They're apparently the terrorists are Russian-based. I don't know if there's any message behind that. But they get the high-value target. They say, "We want him alive." They basically punch him. They just keep beating him and beating him, beating him for information. And then at one point, the guy that's administering the beating gets a phone call, gets the answer he wants from the phone call, pulls out his gun and blows the head off of the tied to a chair, beaten, surrendered enemy.
And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think it's funny and ha-ha when they're playing Grand Theft Auto and they're just causing havoc and shooting down cops and having sex with prostitutes and then stealing the money back after you have sex with them and then killing them. But how far are we away from graphic rape violence when we're going to be torturing families in front of these high-value targets like they do in real life when you read the memos?
Not very far at all. In fact, in Grand Theft Auto, there's a very controversial scene that came up in the news a couple years ago. It's basically a sex scene with simulated sex, and it's not necessarily with somebody that's benefiting from the encounter. And that's Grand Theft Auto, which...
Which one is it? Four? Vice City?
Four. Vice City.
Two is Vice City.
It's the newest one.
What is it? That's Liberty City, which is based on New York City. It looks exactly like New York City. They didn't want to pay any of the money to New York City because God knows that they've copyrighted everything there. So they made it Liberty City. But this just does, to me, show some moral degradation. I mean, as we're speaking here, and we've been on the air since about 8 after, threw this on at 9 after, this has been 6 minutes of hardcore violence on civilians in an airport with very little resistance from armed forces. Right now, you know, they're wrapping up the level and they're going after, you know, some of the security forces that survived and they're outside of the airport itself. But it just disturbs me that you literally saw hundreds of people gunned down in a black operation, kind of reminiscent of Mumbai and the attacks there, in order to proliferate a storyline of false flag terror that leads to a hot war with Russia. I mean, these things, they boggle my mind. And even if you're not into the storyline, you still are being desensitized to the fact that you're in a first-person situation and you're shooting real people. And in the real military, they use games similar to this. They call it VR. And VR really has fallen off the map in the past decade. I remember back in the early to mid-90s, VR was really the buzzword. I remember Nintendo had their play at it with the Virtual Boy and the little laser goggles you were wearing. You would go to water parks, and they would have one of the virtual reality machines, and you paid $5. And it was really cool. Like, you had 2 minutes in a virtual world. Basically, you would be on some kind of a treadmill-type device so that it could tell that you were walking, and then your headgear would be on. So when you turned your head would turn with it. Now, you haven't seen that because most of it's been classified now, but it's being used by the military, and we can only imagine how far it is when games that are in home consoles on the 360 and on the PS3 are this realistic, this lifelike. So you really have to wonder, I mean, is this the next step in training? And let's not forget, they are fully utilizing the Xbox controller now in the U.S. military to fly drones and UAVs. I mean, how crazy is that?
They're recruiting the gamers to basically, you know, kill enemies, which is what gamers are. I hate to say the word trained. I feel like a hypocrite when I'm a game reviewer and I say that they're training people to kill. But in reality, with the new army, the new robotics initiatives, this is exactly what they're doing. This is a training simulation.
And, absolutely.
The army had a game that they developed and released for free. It was a first person shooter. And actually, what you're about to see is the scene where they turn on the CIA operative.
And by the way, you play the CIA operative.
Yes.
You in this level, you are the American CIA operative, and you get up to go there, and then it's boom, right in the head.
Exactly, and then your own people come to collect you, and the operation's complete. You've basically started a war just by taking part in that operation.
It's some wild stuff. You want to talk to myself or Ryan about it, the number is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. And I think we're seeing more and more examples of this as well. This is the trend in gaming. I really feel like they're getting away from these original ideas that we saw when we were kids, like, hey, Super Mario Brothers or Sonic or, you know, I mean, there still is that genre out there, but it's nowhere near as big as the Halo genre or the Call of Duty genre. Those are the big games. Even Street Fighter IV didn't do that well, you know, a game that we really grew up with. This is the new thing that the youth are attached to. Online gaming, wearing an earpiece, talking to other people in their quote-unquote unit or on their team, and gunning others down in a first-person perspective society.
Right, and these games in the single-player versions of them, now with multiplayer, it's always team versus team. But in the single-player, like what we just saw with the Call of Duty, ethics are becoming a big part of the game. If you look at BioShock, which was a huge game 2 years ago, you had a choice whether you wanted to be a good guy or a bad guy, and it paid off more to be a bad guy and basically kill little girls. And that was part of the game, is you got to decide, do you let the little girl live or do you kill her and get more profit off of it faster?
I've got BioShock. I've never played it, but
it's an experience.
All right, we're going to hold Ryan over for one more segment, the short segment coming up. We're going to take your calls, 888-201-2244 or 512-646-1776. After this segment, I'm going to talk about these mysterious spirals that are appearing in Norway and China and give you my take on that. I'm going to talk about V the TV series as well. Coming up after this, it's the Info Warrior. Jump to your calls in just a moment, but first I want to have them hit this clip. Now, this is yet another scene from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and they're going to throw this up on there, but before they do, Ryan, just give them a little explanation. They're throwing it up right now, what we're about to see for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers at home.
Well, essentially, this is actually from a World at War, Call of Duty 5. It's their take back to the World Wars. And you have a bunch of Russians that are sitting there or standing there in a ditch. They have surrendered. They are completely unarmed. And you have a choice. You can kill them quickly or slowly. And if you choose not to fire on them, Molotov cocktails are thrown at them and they're burned alive. So basically, you really don't have much of an ethics choice right there at all. You can either kill them or kill them.
You can kill them or kill them.
Yes.
So it's kill or kill?
Basically.
Oh, yes. That's interesting. Yeah, well, it is war.
It can be painful or it can be fast, but
it's kill or kill.
A surrendered soldier is executed.
Well, I mean, that was in Saving Private Ryan. Hell of a movie, by the way. All right, let's take some calls. Mark in California. Mark, you're online. Yes, sir.
Hey, Jason. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good.
Appreciate all your work.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. I think this whole video game thing is pretty disturbing just because all my friends have the game and they don't really notice that at all or think it's strange. Or even if I bring it up to them, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's just a video game. Don't worry about it. So I totally understand what you're saying about the defense.
That is what's disturbing to me. You know, Luke Radowski, the founder of We Are Change, he posted on my Facebook, by the way, about to hit 5,000 members. So if you want in, I got 9 spots left. I'm going to be banning people right and left for those who post more than one post on there. So if you want to get in, who knows, maybe you'll have to wait a month because I've only got 9 left. But Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. Anyway, he posted on there. He's like, man. Yeah. He's like, man, I want to play this Modern Warfare 2 so bad. It looks awesome. But, you know, I know about the airport level and I know about the message. So I think it's good that you're actually talking to your friends and at least, you know, in the back of their head. They may not realize it now, but there will be a trigger later on and someone will awaken just because you told them what this Modern Warfare game was actually about. See, they can comprehend false flag attacks in video games where everything's leprechauns and unicorns and apparently not real no matter how real it looks. But then you explain false flag attacks in reality, like the Gulf of Tonkin, like the first Oklahoma City bombing. Well, I say first, the only Oklahoma City bombing, the first World Trade Center bombing, the last World Trade Center bombing, and they just can't wrap their small pea-sized brains around it. So we have to bridge that gap and keep pushing forward. Thanks for the call, Mark. Let's go to Jeff in Delaware. Jeff, you're online.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today, sir?
Good, man. Good.
I like to talk about speaking about video games, have you seen the episode about South Park with the heroin hero?
Yes, I did watch Heroin Hero. Heroin Hero was basically a play on Guitar Hero, but all you do instead of playing Guitar Hero, and I think Randy Marsh, my favorite South Park character, the father, gets addicted to it. You just chase the dragon the entire time while a needle gets jabbed into your arm, and it's first-person perspective. Go ahead.
What about that? I know I'm a little bit ahead. I like to talk about the CERN.
Sure.
About the circles, is over Norway.
All right, let's talk about it right now. We're going to go into it more in depth on the next segment, and I thank you for the call, Jeff. Here is my take on the swirls. Now, apparently, the day that the first swirl, and that's what they're calling it, swirl, did show up in Norway. Now, we've had one in Norway and one in China, and they both look extremely similar. Some people are saying that they're not the same. No, folks, they're almost exactly the same. One just seems to be lower to the ground or at a different perspective from a camera. You got to remember, cameras are going to pick up separate different things, but it seems to be pulsing at the same rate, seems to be doing the same thing. People are speculating that this was because CERN had done this big test, the biggest test that they had ever done. Now, is that a possibility? Sure, it's a possibility. Is it a probability? I'm not quite sure. Look, from what we know as human beings, and there may be something else out there that we don't know, Lord knows I'm no genius. He also knows that I'm not God. I have no omnipresence. I can't tell you the answers to everything. But of the known technologies that we have out there, maybe they were trying to do something with the ionosphere or the atmosphere. Okay, maybe it's some kind of a HARP-type weaponry. I don't know. Maybe it is CERN. However, my money, and, you know, quote me on this one, I may be wrong. My money is this is not any of those kind of things. And I really think it's holographic technology. If you were going to do an experiment like that, you would probably put it under wraps so that people couldn't film it outside of a base or it would be in an undisclosed area. The only reason I see it out in the public is for some kind of a mass hysteria or for the public to just become wildly speculating on what it actually is. Is this a wormhole? Is this a gateway to another dimension? It's probably just a hologram. And the reason that they chose the spiral shape is if it goes in and out or there's some kind of problems, it's not an organic object. It's not a person. It's not an animal. It's not an entity. It's easily explained away. We're going to get into that and a lot more. I want to thank Ryan for coming in. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes. Tune in, Prison Planet. to the Info Warrior, folks. We are back and wrapping up this issue with the swirls in the sky. It seems to me if you were going to pump out the kind of technology that's talked about in Project Bluebeam, where they openly say that they're going to use holograms to make Jesus and Buddha appear in the skies or fake an alien invasion, those types of things, you start with a much more primitive type of the technology. In other words, you're not going to project organic beings walking down the street or in the clouds. You're going to start with small shapes and patterns. And I got to tell you, my gut is telling me that this is probably some kind of holographic experimentation. This is not, you know, reptoids from the fourth dimension opening up the realms of the universe and passing, you know, into ours. I don't think it's anything like that. The other possibility to me is, yes, this is some kind of new weaponry being tested, some kind of a HARP or a CERN-type program. But my money is on the holograms. All right, let's keep going through these callers. It is 888-201-2244. Let's go to Kyle in Iowa. Kyle, you're on the line.
Boomis, how are you today?
I'm good, Kyle. How you doing, brother?
Excellent, excellent. Hey, video game guy, have you ever played a game called Red Alert 3 before?
Have you, Ryan? You play a game named... Nope, he's giving me the no. He's never played Red Alert 3. Why don't you tell us about us?
Okay, it's a real-time strategy game, and the latest installment, it's been out for a little while, but the latest installment has got a bunch of big names. I know you like MMA. Randy Couture's in there.
Oh, really?
Is one of the actors, and Jenny McCarthy and all that. Interesting thing about the introduction, essentially the storyline is you have the Allies, the Soviets, and the Empire of the Rising Sun that are all vying for power. The Soviets are about to get crushed, but they design a time machine to go back in time and kill Einstein because he was the one who gave the Allies the superior technology. Mm-hmm. Anyways, just as they're getting ready to get into their time machine to go back and do this, one of the actors, I forget his name, but it's the guy who is he was the main guy in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Are you talking about Tim Curry?
Yeah, yes.
Tim Curry, sure.
He plays a Russian general, mm-hmm. and just as they're getting ready to hop in the time machine, he's telling his other general that has no idea what is going on yet. He's like, "Come, General, as we create a new world order." Sorry for my bad acting, but I thought you would think that was interesting.
Well, there's a whole game out there called...
You guys are on the
There's a whole game out there called Das X, and this is another one of those first-person shooters, and in it, again, they're trying to create a new world order, and it's the Illuminati. You look at a game called, I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but it was Microsoft. It wasn't like Capital City. Basically, you're this black super soldier cop guy, and you just go through and kill all these people, and you're taking on rival gangs, and they're putting out a sequel to it. But at the end, he finds out that the people that were hiring him, the elitists, were really behind all of these crime syndicates, and what they were using him for was to consolidate power. So you do see this type of new world order, Illuminati, world government structure popping up in a lot of the big popular games that are being promoted by people like Microsoft and Activision. And I'm not sure who does Activision does Call of Duty Modern Warfare too, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do.
So.
Yeah, I think so too. Kyle, thank you for the call. Great points. Let's jump to Tommy in Missouri. Tommy, you're on the line.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man.
I like to go back to Modern Warfare 2.
Sure.
There's a scene in the game, late in the game, toward the end, mm-hmm. where you're bringing it hot and heavy to the terrorist, Malakov. Mm-hmm. And you get info that's incriminating to him. And right as you're leaving that level, your soldier's wounded. You meet your general, General Shepard, at the very end of the level. He puts a bullet into both your characters, douses him with gasoline, and then he sets him on fire.
What?
The entire time, your own general in the army was working with the terrorist group.
Oh, well, that's actually realistic, unfortunately. I mean,
yeah, that's what's kind of sad.
You look at these guys, you know, I saw a headline today that I was tempted to print out just for its propaganda value, where Petraeus, even though he's betraying us every day, said, we got to look at Al-Qaeda in Iraq and how they really revamped the system and they're back full force. again, the CIA's own numbers say that Al-Qaeda is about 100 people. We can't stamp out 100 people in an 8-year hot war that has spanned Afghanistan and Iraq and parts of Pakistan that are really under our influence and control anyway. I find that more than hard to believe. And, you know, not only is the fact that the general is working with the terrorists, how about the really violent deaths that everybody, not only are you going to be shot, but you're going to be burned to death. I mean, that's pretty gruesome, Tommy.
Yeah.
Also, it's the new norm, man. It's the new norm.
It's being marketed toward children to get them to like the military and want to join the service. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that the prestige edition of the game comes with a full functioning working night vision set?
No, I was not aware of that, but that also doesn't surprise me. You know, my landlord, his son just recently joined the military. He left in November, and I got to tell you, man, he was one of the top guys on Xbox Live in, I believe it was Halo 3. And another one of these first-person shooters, and you better believe that had some kind of – his father was in the military too, but some kind of influence in there. You know, I want to go in the military. I want to shoot the enemy. I want to kill these – you know, I heard him use the term raghead. And I'm just like, man, it's not how it really is. And I've given him Alex Jones's films. I've given him my films. They seem pretty semi-awakened. They'll at least hear me out. They at least want some kind of a conversation. But that's still not stopping the bloodlust that is really created by a society that is glorifying these type of things through television, through movies, and now their latest propaganda medium, and one which you really take an active role, video games. I thank you for the call, Tommy. Let's go to Bill in Kentucky. Bill, you're online. Yes, sir. Did he hang up? Is that a hang up on Bill? Let's go to Joe in Maryland. Joe. No, we got Bill? Bill, you're online.
Yeah, tell me if I'm plowing old ground, but I'd like to go back to Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory TV a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So one of the if I hadn't seen the first thing about HARP, I wouldn't mm-hmm. have understood the whole approach, and it was obvious after you saw the first one that it was going to be really shallow and never really dig into the deep part of the stuff. It was just going to be entertainment. Still, mm-hmm. there was a lot of good information. However, mm-hmm. with respect to the black boxes, mm-hmm. if you research like you have the whole 9/11 deal, you know that there's so much about the black box that was data that released from the Pentagon. You know mm-hmm. the picture of the black box there in Shanksville. And mm-hmm. so don't you think there should have been some kind of contextualizing of that whole data?
Well, you know what? He didn't really go into a lot of things. I mean, I was kind of surprised to see Van Romero on the show and not in the context that Van Romero on – he's the one that does the thermite experiment. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So Van Romero is one of those guys that on 9/11 actually said that the buildings came down with explosives. There was no other way that that kind of structural failure could have happened without secondary devices. Now, we put that in the – I believe it was the second edition of Loose Change that's in. Now, in the final cut of Loose Change, he changed his story within 2 days. I think I have a clip of him either on September 12th or September 13th where he says – well, even if there weren't secondary devices, he's not saying that there absolutely weren't, but he's saying even without the secondary devices, the weight in the building caused, you know, structural failure, and there was enough energy in the building for them to completely collapse. Now, I would have liked Jesse to ask him why he thought explosives were in the building at first, and then he changed his story. That didn't happen. I would have liked them to go a little further on the thermite research, show me a little bit more of the experiment going down. But overall, for a 42-minute piece that was heavily based on this black box theory, I think he played a smart move because it's almost irrefutable that those black boxes were found at Ground Zero in some capacity. And, there's been books written on it. Obviously, the Mike Ballone story is new. He didn't touch the Pentagon. He didn't touch Shanksville, Pennsylvania. He didn't touch the reports of the hijackers training at U.S. bases. He didn't touch the Pakistani funding. And the way that the show is structured, that, you know, people on his team are going to be skeptical and they're going to go back to the home base every once in a while and kick it around. Yeah, that's a little bit hokey. But I also see this. I'll tell you what, man. That thing aired on 9/11 on, I believe it was Wednesday. That night into the next day, I had over 125 Facebook friend requests of people I'd never seen before. And I can only think that that is due to the fact that people watch this show, typed in 9/11 truth or investigate 9/11, came across me and my material, and then wanted to learn more. So I think it's a great jumping off point. I mean, even his HARP episode that I watched had a few like hokey moments, and they did some editing that I wasn't too, you know, happy with. But at the same time, they had Nick Begich on there. They explained how HARP worked. I think they may have even went a little over the top with the mind control aspect at the end, but not too over the top that it's going to draw people away from the information. So overall, I think this series is a great thing. It's getting record numbers on True TV. I hope it gets renewed and that they're able to do a follow-up to the 9/11 episode. Hey, they had Willie Rodriguez on, and they had a really fair account of that.
Do you think they're going to have any kind of inside producers or consultants? I know Alex was involved, but other people that they would tap into on a follow-up episode?
Yeah, you know, I think that seeing as he went to Professor Stephen Jones this time around, maybe he's going to go to somebody like Richard Gage the next time around. He tried to get John Farmer. I don't think John Farmer was interested in doing an interview that wasn't in a controlled environment. But you look at the – did you happen to see the CBC unofficial story special that was a week before that?
Absolutely, yeah.
That was the best mainline piece on 9/11 I've ever seen in my life, okay?
Absolutely.
Even when they had Jimmy Meggs up there totally and completely lying to Bob McEwen. And Bob McEwen is a huge U.S. journalist. He's on the top networks here. You know what I mean? You see him on television. He's just done the CBC for years and years and years as well. And when he's over there and he says, well, we weren't training for hijackings. And then Bob McEwen goes, that's all they train for. He does let him get away with the lie that they never trained for an inside hijackings. All the hijackings happened outside of the United States. Now, I went on my show 2 weeks ago when this happened, and I showed the documents from Team 8, the initial FBI investigation into 9/11, where they show you in the late 90s and up until the day of 9/11, yes, they had run drills of hijackings inside the United States, including Amalgam Virgo, where they were going to slam a plane into the Capitol building, and Osama bin Laden was on the cover. I would have liked to see McEwen call him out on that, but he didn't do worship. Even that journalist he had on from the National Post, I can't think of his name right off the bat, but he was supposed to play the skeptic. He was somewhat fair. Now, that guy tried to do an interview with Alex and I, but we just couldn't make it out there. He's from the National. Jonathan Kay is his name, and he's wrote some pretty smarmy articles. But we went back and forth in an email exchange, and I said, look, man, I'm more than willing to do any kind of interview you want. I just want you to look at the material that I've presented. Watch my movie Fabled Enemies. My guess is he watched my movie Fabled Enemies, and then he had no interest in actually interviewing me because that movie is airtight. It sits next to me right now. If you want to know how 9/11 was run, if you want to understand the international intelligence operation that is 9/11, how they got the hijackers into the country through a CIA front base, which was supposed to be a Saudi Arabian visa center, how they were trained at U.S. military bases, how Israeli operatives were arrested on the morning of 9/11, how the Pakistanis funded ADA and others. Please get this film, make copies, and hand them out. I thank you for the call, Bill. We're going to jump to the next caller. Let's go to Joe in Maryland. Joe, you're on the line.
Hey,
yes,
it's
sir.
A good thing that game's out. It's a good thing that game's out, so the 30,000 extra troops that are going to be over will be pre-trained.
It's kind of a sick joke, but I guarantee the majority of those troops that are going over there own that game. I mean, that's not even off base, man. Let's be real. A lot of the guys that I see that are really into video games in their mid-20s, early 30s, unfortunately, are military guys. They are. I can't tell you.
I need to also point out that if Obama's doing the same thing that George W. did, then there is definitely going to be a lot more than the 30,000 because last time...
Well, you said more than that beforehand. Look, that's just the latest announcement. They have been redistributing forces over the last 10 months to the tune, I think, of something like 70,000 troops. Now, they did it in increments that weren't that noticeable.
They never count the reserve units,
that's true.
They go out.
They don't count the mercenaries either, which are just going up in number.
Oh, no. And because last year, they made the announcement that they already made the announcement that most people in my reserve unit would be going out to the sandbox, as we call it. And it's already happened, and we're running thin.
So are you going?
Luckily, no.
I can't talk about some of the stuff that's been going on that. But I do want to talk about the Russian spiral. From every bit of word that I've heard, they're saying that it's a beautiful piece of Russian epic fail. So that makes
You're talking about the Norway and China lights being some kind of a Russian experiment,
Or another failed test, because they fail a lot. Every time I was in and they would try something, it would fail just about every time.
Well, the official version that we've heard, and not about the Chinese one, but about the first spiral, is that it was a rocket that got out of control and was spiraling around. Obviously, you would have to be a half-tard with, you know, a quarter of your brain to actually believe that. It's definitely something else. I mean, it's a possibility that it's some kind of failed military experiment out there. But what's your guess? I'm taking guesses on it. What do you think? What do you think they were testing for?
I haven't heard about the Chinese one, but if the Chinese one and if the Norwegian one is the same thing, mm-hmm. then it is possible that it could. I don't know. That was a perfect spiral, but I've seen some beautifully failed rocket launches, and depending on what went wrong with it, that it very possibly could be that.
Really, you think so? I mean, when you look at that second one in China, it seems so much lower to the ground. And then for the time that it took, I have, you know, a real tough problem thinking it's some kind of conventional rocket failure, but I'm keeping an open mind. I thank you for the call, Joe. We're going to go to Scott, Kelly, and others. 888-201-2244. Back after this, it's the Info Warrior. Hear me talk about on this show is Tiger Woods and his magical penis. However, I am going to talk about Tiger Woods right now. I mean, who knew a rich man who's worth almost $1 billion is sleeping around his wife? Who could imagine? I can't imagine somebody famous doing such a thing. See, that's not what I'm going to focus on here. We're going to take some more calls. We're going to go to Scott, Kelly, and others. 888-201-2244. Child Services confirms visit to Tiger Woods' house. What the hell is it CPS's duty to walk into Tiger Woods' home and see how everything... Look, the man's a billionaire. He slept around on his wife. His kids aren't in danger, period, okay? Are mommy and daddy fighting? Probably. Is it the best environment they could be in right now? No matter how hard they're fighting... They're probably sitting pretty in the $300 million home he owns, okay? Okay? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think that they're starving. I don't think that they're getting beaten. I don't think that there's any reason that CPS should be visiting Tiger Woods' home. But this just shows the out-of-control nature of this organization, what it's really about, how it's an encroachment on freedom and liberty and our civil rights as human beings. You know, I'm pretty sure there's some other things that CPS could be doing other than going to Tiger Woods' home and making sure everything's okay. The only reason that they would have any idea that there was something wrong is because of the lamestream media that can't get enough of Tiger Woods and his bimbo squad. Okay? That's the extent we're going to cover it. CPS illegally coming into Tiger Woods' home to see how his children are doing. An official from the Florida Department of Children and Families tells TMZ a representative from the department went to Tiger Woods' home on Friday for a well-being check. I got news for you, CPS. If I ever have kids and you dare come to my home for a well-being check, well, my fist is going to be your face because you're not coming into my home. You're not going to try to brainwash my children to go against their father, which I'm sure this is everything at home, kids? Good? Is daddy treating you? Are mommy and daddy yelling at each other? Oh, they are yelling at each other. That's interesting. Tell us more. Does daddy hit mommy? Has mommy ever hit daddy? Oh, very, very interesting. And the next thing you know, you got them coming in your house and kidnapping your children. Probably won't happen to Tiger Woods because, again, he's almost a billionaire and he can handle the lawyer spot. But there's no reason for these people to be in his homes for a well-being check on his kid, okay? There's plenty of fathers out there that can't keep their schlong in their pants that don't have hundreds of millions of dollars, okay, that don't even feed their kids. Go there. Do something real, CPS. Give me a break. All right, let's continue with the callers. Let's go to Scott in Washington. Scott, you're online. Yes, sir.
Game. Yeah, you know, with these video games, it makes you wonder whatever happened to games like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Galaga. I guess I'm a dinosaur in that.
You know, some of those are revamped, and, you know, there are those that are out there for the kids, but, you know, all the money and the promotion aren't behind those types of games. The promotion is on these first-person shooters, these extra-violent, morally bankrupt games like Grand Theft Auto, Modern Warfare. I'm just appalled that you're killing civilians in an airport in a false-flag Black Ops mission. And the game made $550 million in 5 days. They also banned 1 million users on Xbox Live for piracy. We're going to come back to Scott and others on the other side. Jason Burmis, we're taking your calls, and me and Scott from Washington, we're just talking a little Modern Warfare 2. Again, they banned 1 million people from Xbox Live because they had pirated the game and then gone online with it. They'd been pretty lax on people that were modding the Xboxes, but seeing as this was going to be their big seller, they did decide to just ban 1 million people. And even with that ban of 1 million people, because it leaked on the internet at least 2 or 3 weeks before the actual release. So it's on the internet for almost a month. They still ban 1 million people, and the thing still makes $550 million in the first 5 days. You wait till after Christmas. This is well over a $1 billion dog that's going into a lot of houses, homes, and young minds across this country and the world. Go ahead, Scott. What do you got for me?
Spooky, but what I really wanted to talk about was the climate gate thing, and it just seems like that the more that evidence that comes out against this thing, the more the Kool-Aid drinkers really want to hard sell that thing. And I think with Lord Monckton, it showed a lot more coot, I think, than I would have showed out with those two, because I would have said to them, if you're so concerned about being Nazis, well, you know, if the brown shirt or the green shirt and swastikas fit, wear them. That's how they
Well, you know what? Those kids are well-meaning idiots, and I think that he sees that, and he's trying to explain it in a manner that hopefully they'll comprehend. They're running on nothing but emotions. However, a thing that we really haven't discussed on this show, but we're going to show the clip in the next segment, there's this guy out there, this documentary filmmaker, that recently made a movie. I think it's called Global Warming, Not Evil, Just Wrong. And it disproves global warming. He takes the total skeptics approach. He went to the Copenhagen Climate Conference, asked a question. Of course, his question was relevant, so he's not allowed to ask it. And then afterwards, he tries to ask a follow-up question, and goons from the UN, UN security guards, refuse to let him answer the question and threaten him with arrest. I'm not sure if it's posted over at PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv right now. It is. It's up there. So in the next segment, it's about a minute and a half, we're going to play this video. I'm recommending the film. I've heard a lot about it. I want to see the whole thing, so anybody out there, get me a screener copy. I'd love to have the guy on the show as well. We're going to play that clip for you coming up. Let's keep going through these calls. Let's go to Kelly in New Hampshire. Kelly, you're online.
Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to talk about
how important it is to unify over issues and kind of ignore where we disagree.
Okay.
Like Lord Monckton, a lot of us would have disagreements with him and working with Thatcher, and, you know, I would have disagreements about that because of the Falkland Wars. But it's good that we can stand behind him when he's talking truth about the climate change.
Sure. Certainly. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, not everybody is going to be hip to 9/11 truth that knows that climate change is a scam, and vice versa. Not everybody that's hip to climate change being a scam is going to know about 9/11 truth and false flag terror. Not everybody out there is well versed on the bailout. However, when somebody is speaking truth and on such a massive level, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree on everything. Look, I'm not here to preach to the choir. I'm here to bring in as many people as possible to fight this fight. And there's no way that you can absorb all this information in a day, in a week, in a month, even a year. I've been looking into this stuff now since 2002 when I was really awakened by 9/11. And before that, I had a pretty deep interest in, I guess, what you would call parapolitics. I was into the MK Ultra stuff. I had read those documents. I loved the History Channel. I'd studied up on the JFK assassination. I was a huge UFO buff. I'd read a lot of those documents as well. And that kind of prepped me for what I learned after 9/11 and the true system of global governance and really what this is about, population control and dominance. Kelly, I'm going to hold you over. If you got any other points, we'll get to them. We're going to go to Jeff, Jim, Colleen, Fidel, and more. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. I can see through you. See your true colors inside your ugly. You're ugly like me.
We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to continue with your calls in just a moment. We're going to go to Jim, Jeff, Colleen, Fidel, and more, 888-201-2244. But first, I want to play this clip, and there's an article over at PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com of an actual journalist asking actual questions that matter to a UN globalist protagonist of lies, hate, and global government. And he's not very – first of all, the guy's answers to these questions are completely ludicrous. He asked him about ClimateGate and the emails, and he's like, those emails were private, and they were discussing things in a private manner, as we all do. Okay, buddy, but they were also discussing things like dumping the data set, not sharing the information with others, hiding the quote-unquote decline in global warming – which is as farcical, again, as unicorns and leprechauns. So I think that that might be a relevant question. But they just keep trying to spin the wheels of deceit and answer with the same talking points. Those emails were stolen and they were private. As if that discredits what the emails actually said. Hey, Michael Mann, screw you. Hey, Phil Jones, you've been outed. We know what you're up to. You had to resign. Innocent people, guess what? Innocent people, they don't resign, okay? They get out of the mix. So let's hit the clip on this guy getting confronted and giving the bull snarky answer. Hit it.
What do you think of the behavior of Professor Phil Jones in asking colleagues to delete emails and to and the destruction of publicly funded data was gathered by public funds?
I don't know what he asked, what he said. I don't make comments on redacted emails presented to me by people whose values I don't trust. I would have to see the whole thing, so I cannot very well comment. What I can say is that private communications that people have between each other certainly are not public documents. And
but the university has confirmed they are accurate.
Everybody says privately. Well, now, let me, I agree, we'll make it short.
So here he is. He's waiting for a follow-up question. And they already tried to take the microphone away from him. Go back to the video while I'm talking about it. Because right here you'll see the goon.
Shut that off for a second, please.
Shut off the camera.
Sorry, I have a member of the press.
If you don't shut that off, I'm going to take it away from you.
Sorry, this is. Sir, we are the press.
I don't care.
Says, I actually shut it off. If it happens again, take it away from you, you're going out. Is that understood? Thank you very much.
This is okay.
No, I just wanted to check your badge.
You see, the most effective tool in this info war, which it really is, it is an information war, is the camera. And they don't like it when you get them on tape exposing their lies. You would think that this guy had a semi-automatic machine gun and was getting ready to light up a room the way he was attacked and assaulted. No, give me back the microphone. No, you're not allowed to film. No, you're not allowed to ask a question. That's not how a free society works. You're supposed to be able to ask questions. You're supposed to be able to engage the opposition. But they don't want that. They want a command and control system where you sit by as their slave. All right, let's go to Jim in New York. Jim, you're online. Yes, sir. And Jim's on? Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'd like to comment on the 9/11 deal. One of the calls a few calls back was talking about, you know, Ventura's program.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've called you before. I've been at this a long time. I worked on those buildings when they were constructed. My dad was a general foreman, and the way they worked it, they had you got so many floors, a contractor, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I found it laughable that they're trying to say that those columns are humongous. They were like 18-ton stuff. They melted, you know, from fire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just totally
Well, at
insane.
First, let me stop you, Jim, because at first they said that they melted due to fire, and then they had to redact that when they realized that jet fuel didn't burn hot enough for them to actually melt. And it doesn't matter that on video we have molten iron and steel falling from the World Trade Center going 20 and 30 floors before it begins to dissipate. They changed their story. They said, oh, well, they didn't actually melt. They just lost their stability. Their construction mechanism, and they failed, and that caused this domino collapse. And at first it was a pancake collapse going floor by floor by floor. They had to change that as well. I mean, they've changed their story so many times, Jim.
That morning I got up, and my son was driving a plumbing truck, and he was going into Manhattan. And I looked at the TV, and I saw that I had slept late. I saw it coming down. And right from day one, I didn't know what happened, but I knew it was some type of a demolition. The way it came straight down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but, you know, this whole thing has to be looked at, I feel. You know, I've been doing it a long time, so I guess I've made a lot of mistakes along the way and got sucked in with these people. But at the apex of this thing is one world government, as I know you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the stimulus package, 9/11, global warming nonsense and all this, it's all part and parcel to take us to that point. You know,
mm-hmm.
people, as soon as they can understand that, the better off they'll be, you know?
I absolutely
films
agree.
Like you
I said I absolutely agree.
Yeah, so the sooner they can come to that understanding, and I'm not saying it's easy. I was thinking, I worked later on as a weather salesman at one point, and I mm-hmm. worked for this Pakistan guy. And he told me that Wells Fargo, this is now back in, I believe, the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
that Wells Fargo is looking to set up like a Social Security system,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now they're doing this all over the world, you know. I didn't affiliate it with one world government, so I've made a lot of mistakes, you know. I just didn't see it.
You know what, Jim? It's a technopoly. It's a corporatocracy, and they will use third party companies and people that you're familiar with, names that you trust, in order to convey their authority. They're going to lure you in, thinking that you're going to be saved, you're going to be helped. It's a reputable company; they have your best interest at heart, and then they wrap it in a global government tax scheme package all the time, promoting what they love to call, and it's their term, it's not Jason Burmese's term, it's not Alex Jones's term, it's the New World Order. And when you see my next film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, you will literally see dozens, if not hundreds, of clips that you have never seen before of world leaders and authorities talking about this quote-unquote New World Order that they are trying to erect. I appreciate the call, Jim. Let's go to Jeff in Canada. Jeff, you're online. Yes, sir.
Hello, Jason?
Yes.
I just got two things I want to comment on. One quick, the CERN colliders.
Mm-hmm.
How many billions of dollars do they spend, and how many atmospheric water generators and solar generators do you think I could pay for in the third world?
Well, obviously you're making the kind of joke that if these people want to reduce their quote-unquote carbon footprint and go into a green economy, what are they doing these kind of CERN activities? But I would take it a step further, Jeff. I would say that the biggest quote-unquote carbon footprint out there is war. I mean, can you imagine the amount of carbon that goes out after they let one of those depleted uranium bombs go off? It's got to be incredible.
I would say Saddam with Iraq the first time when he blew up the oil field.
You go. There's another one. Huge carbon footprint there. Look, they know it's a joke. They know it's a sick joke. The war alone would have to triple or quadruple whatever carbon emissions the regular populace could even put out. These people are hell-bent on making money hand over fist for control, to consolidate power by hook or by crook, whether that means a hot war in the Middle East or a soft ideology like global warming in the rest of the world. They'll do whatever it takes. What else you got for me, Jeff?
Another quick one. Maybe sometime during the show or after the show, there's a new movie. I just seen a preview. It looked pretty cool, graphics and everything, top-notch. And then I checked out one of the previews. It's called Avatar.
Yeah, it's the James Cameron movie that's been going around now. I mean, he's talked about doing this kind of project since Titanic. Titanic, like I've watched it. And basically, it's this supposedly 3D revolutionary film. I've seen a lot of the previews for it. It looks pretty intense. What's your point on this?
Well, if you watch one preview, it's a soldier. He's injured and he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of fill him in. It's a mineral in the ground. These aboriginals are on it. Mm-hmm. The mineral, you know, one little rock is $1 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a super valuable mineral they want and need, and the aboriginals are on the land, and what they're trying to do is infiltrate it with one of their members.
And the way they're doing that, by the way, is they're taking somebody who's a cripple, and they are basically morphing his mind into one of the aborigines, and that's why it's called Avatar. They genetically create the Avatar aborigine, and then through him controlling it with his mind, he's able to take over this body.
Yeah, and basically, you kind of get to the core of the story. How many times have we seen that in Africa, where the indigenes are inheriting a land, and then they're pushed out by military and destroyed in order to...
Look, Africa should be one of the most resource-rich nations in the – or continents in the world. In the world, you know? They have – they could feed that population, but that's not what the owners want. That's not what the globalists want. They want control over a third-world population that cannot defend or govern itself and is forced to bow down to their globalist masters. They love the Chinese system. That's why they have a seat at the table right now. I mean, yes, when you talk about going in and taking somebody's resources for your own benefit, it happens in Africa. Look at the diamond fields. They cut people's arms off over there. It's craziness. I thank you for the call, Jeff. We're going to take some other calls on the other side. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burns.
When they tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be.
Oh, when an economy is down and out, who's hiring? Why, it's the IRS, of course. Exclusive, IRS hires hundreds for new wealth unit. And if you think this is a wealth unit, you're an idiot. Yeah, they are going to go after people that make $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, $5 million, $10 million a year, but they will never go after the true power structure. They will never go after the elitists that run this country and the world. And what they're really doing is getting more employees to stamp on you, the little guy, the average American just trying to scrape by. and have a good life for him and his family. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Colleen in Pennsylvania. Colleen, you're on the line. Yes, Colleen.
Hi there, Burmese. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, so what I want to talk about was on the topic of video games.
Okay.
This is something quick and interesting I noticed in the game Rock Band, of all places. Mm. My friends and I were having a good time just messing around with Rock Band, which, you know, seems innocent enough. My only beef with that could be that it may discourage children from playing instruments, but other than that, seems harmless, right?
Yeah, sure.
So we were having a great laugh designing our characters, our avatars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was going to be funny and cover mine with tattoos and make it look ridiculous. Well, there was a tattoo named Awesomeness, and it's a very small tattoo that is meant to go on the arm or something like that.
Yep.
And I made a joke, well, let's expand this tattoo because there's a feature to enlarge the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on and see what awesomeness really looks like. Well, you won't believe what the awesomeness tattoo in Rock Band actually was.
And I'm going to guess like a pentagram or something?
Hmm?
Maybe a pentagram or something? Because they do have some occultic
symbols. It wasn't a pentagram. It was the all-familiar, all-seeing eye and other occult symbolism, including the serpent caduceus, mm-hmm. which is the staff of Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all this occult symbolism and this awesomeness tattoo. Check it out for yourself. It's in Rock Band too.
Well, that would be a good post if you could take a screenshot, or maybe someone out there listening could take a screenshot of the awesomeness
Absolutely.
Tattoo.
You know, even in my spare time, I cannot even avoid this stuff. Even when I'm trying to recreate with my friends, make some jokes about an awesomeness tattoo, I can't even escape this stuff.
It does seem to be everywhere, and it does seem to encompass the youth especially. You know, one of the newer video games that I've been playing, and I haven't been playing it much, but I actually picked it up late night last night while I couldn't sleep. I was playing Soul Calibur 4, and the Soul Calibur series is just riddled with all-seeing eyes and the all-seeing eye of Osiris and separate different Babylonian and Egyptian symbols throughout the entire game. And it's such a kick-ass game. I can't put it down. Well, I can put it down because I'm an adult, and I do big boy things, and I spent, you know, all of yesterday. I must have got here at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and I went home one time, but I was here until just about 1:30 in the morning working on the film. So it's not like I'm engulfed in these video games, but even when I'm trying to take a little bit of a breather from the subject matter, I can't do so because I see it in the background. It really does surround us. I thank you for the call, Colleen. Let's go to Fidel in Wisconsin. Fidel, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Jason?
Not much,
man. I got
a
quick question for you. You were talking about engaging the opposition, and I totally agree with you. I'm just wondering, why don't you guys ever talk about Bill Cooper?
You know why I don't talk about Bill Cooper much? Because a lot of people get offended when I give my real opinion on Bill Cooper. I've read Behold the Pale Horse. I've watched his lectures. I've even watched – he did this it's like the Prince and the something or other, but it's all on JFK. And it's all about where he was murdered. It's like this two-hour-long it's not even really a documentary. It's supposed to be for researchers. Anyway, when you read Behold the Pale Horse, there's a lot of great information in there. And then there's a lot of Johnny nonsense. There's a lot of unsubstantiated things that he just claimed as if they were fact. And then if anybody ever challenged him on it, he just screamed about it. He never said, well, here's the document. Let me give you an example. One of the documents that he claims to have found says that the Bilderberg group meets in a submarine at the polar ice caps underneath them so that nobody's sonar could get in. And he found this out from a Xeroxed copy of a document that somebody left on the scanner or the Xerox machine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I need to see the document, Bill, or don't write about it. He also wrote in Behold a Pale Horse that he was privy to information that Jesus Christ was actually an alien, and that the aliens had come down and shown the leaders of the military a hologram, which was a videotape. And stay over, Fidel. I'm not dropping you because I'd like to hear your opinion on the other side of them sacrificing Jesus. And the aliens were our gods. I mean, that's what it was alluding to. From that to moon bases to so much more that's so unsubstantiated, I just don't think that Bill Cooper is a great representation of what this movement should be about. Should you read Behold a Pale Horse? Sure, it's an interesting book. Take in as much information as you can. We'll get back to that subject and much, much more on the other side.
I laughed and shook his hand. Made my way back home. I searched for fatherland.
business by sticking to what I could prove and only speculating while telling people, hey, this is speculation, this is what the evidence suggests to me, and this is why I think that. Getting back to Bill Cooper, and then I'm going to get your take on it, Fidel. One of the other things that really bothered me about Bill Cooper is the William Greer analysis. You know, for those that don't know, there are some people, and Bill Cooper is the proponent of this, that believe that the limo driver, which is William Greer, he's a Secret Service agent who obviously had something to do with the Kennedy assassination, or he wouldn't have been in the driver's seat. If you watch the video just prior to Kennedy being shot, two of the Secret Service agents are actually flagged off of the vehicle in the back so they could not save Kennedy's life. Now, if you watch this video, right as he is shot in the neck and he starts grasping, you see the driver turn around once, and then very quickly turn around, and what seems to be he puts his arm out and he may be holding something, or it may be the top of the other guy's hair, or it may be the car door, but it may be a gun. I don't know. And supposedly he shoots Kennedy in the head. Now, I've watched that video dozens, if not hundreds of times. Okay. I've seen it blown up to the point that you couldn't blow it up anymore. And suffice it to say, by that video alone, you can't say William Greer shot the guy. You can speculate on it. You can say, well, it's possible. Maybe he shot the guy. But his swagger, his demeanor, his attitude, his inability to admit that he was wrong about anything, it really turns me off to a lot of what Bill Cooper said and stood for. And, you know, is he the father of the Patriot movement? I really hope not, because, again, he got into a lot of this hokey extraterrestrial stuff that really a lot of it's disinfo. I'm just going to put it out there. I've looked at the UFO phenomenon. I've looked at extraterrestrials, and behind a lot of – I recently just watched another documentary on UFOs and extraterrestrials about Billy Meier. And for those that don't know who Billy Meier is, he's the one that took that famous photograph that you see on the X-Files all the time, and the famous poster says, I want to believe, and all these incredible videos. But at the base of it, what is Billy Meier promoting? Billy Meier is promoting a one-world army and a one-world government under some kind of a New Age consciousness. And you find that more and more as you delve into some of these UFO subcults. So, you know, that's why I stay away from Cooper and his stuff. But hey, man, I'll tell you this. Behold a Pale Horse did a lot for this movement, especially back in the late 80s and early 90s, and it's a hell of a read. You got anything else for me, Fidel? Or I'll get your take on it.
I just got to say, I 100% wholeheartedly disagree with you on your statement that he wasn't a good representation of this truth movement, because not only did the man ultimately give his life for the information that he divulged, but he also...
But that's not
true,
people
may not know that he lost his leg.
But that's not true. But that's not true.
He was run off the road, lost his leg, got his head bashed in.
Hold on. I mean, hold on. You're saying he got killed for his information, right? I mean, that's what you just said. He got killed for the information. No, he got killed because he openly – stay on the line, because I'm going to take you to task on this. He got killed because he openly stated he wasn't going to pay his taxes. And when the IRS – and they knew he wasn't paying his taxes, and that's a good way to get arrested. Okay? You can throw out all the common law stuff, all that stuff you want. And a lot of it's real, but are you actually going to be – is it real in the sense that will work for you in the reality we live in today? No. The cops are still coming. So he knew the cops were coming for him, okay? And they didn't go there to shoot him in the face. They didn't go there to kill Bill Cooper. They went there to go arrest him for tax evasion, and he shot one of their guys in the head, dude. I mean, he shot one of their guys in the head. And whether you believe hold on. Whether you believe that was justified or not, he drew first blood there, okay? And then they killed him. Now, Bill Cooper could have foregone getting shot if he didn't shoot at them. And they didn't go up there because of his radio show. They didn't go up there because of his book. They went up there because he evaded his taxes and he was open about it. Okay, so he didn't get killed for his information. He could be alive today talking about whatever he wanted to had he not pulled a gun on another man and killed him. I mean, that's the truth, Fidel. I mean, it's an uncomfortable truth if you're a Bill Cooper follower. And again, I think the guy's put out a lot of good stuff. I think you should go and listen to some of the stuff he's put out. But a lot of it is straight disinformation. It's along the lines of a Phil Schneider. I've had people call into this show worshiping Phil Schneider, who's another, you know, corpse out there that supposedly, you know, was exposing all this New World Order stuff. But then he talks about how he was working in black operations in a tunnel and all of a sudden the tunnel wall went out and he got into a shootout with gray aliens. You know, I stick to what I can prove, man. And a lot of that stuff is unprovable. And you saying that Bill Cooper got killed for his beliefs is just inaccurate, bro.
He was number one on Bill Clinton's watch list or most wanted list or whatever. He was number one.
Show me the document. I've never seen that. That's speculation, man. That's something that goes around on these above top secret forums and conspiracy planning.
That's true, though.
Now you just said if that's true. So you admit you've never seen a document where that could be proven. I highly doubt that Bill Cooper was at the top of Clinton's hit list. I really do.
Didn't Alex Jones just become number 24th on Obama's list?
Oh, but again, Alex. First of all, hold on. Alex is not number one. He's never claimed to be number one.
But you
look at that list, and that's a real list, man. That is a real list.
Okay,
here's the deal.
Obama
Bill Cooper
has a list. You don't think Bill Clinton had a list?
I didn't
as well?
Say that he didn't have a list. I said that there was no documentation to prove that Bill Cooper was at the top of that list. The only reason we know about the list that Alex Jones is on is because some tabloid dug it up. Every once in a while, you know, things like the Globe and Mail and the Inquirer do some good work that breaks out into the mainstream. It's not just all, you know, crappy celebrity stuff. But to say that Jones is on that list, yeah, he really is. I mean, Jones didn't come up with that. Jones didn't espouse that. That was in the Globe and Mail, and it turned out to be true. But you coming on the show and saying that Bill Cooper was at the top of the hit list on Bill Clinton's, we don't know that. There's no documentation.
I mean, look it up. Look it up for yourself.
Dude, I've never – I've looked into Bill Cooper. I have never seen a Clinton hit list with Bill Cooper at the top of it. And I feel like, look, man, I'm not bashing Bill. All right. I think he did a lot of good things, but I think there's all this aura around him that is just not true. And his story, man, the guy was not gunned down because of his beliefs. He was gunned down because he shot a guy on tax evasion when they sent sheriffs up there. That's what happened.
Oh.
And that's what happened, man. It is what he killed
he was
that guy.
Standing up for his right, his constitutional right.
Okay, all right. Well, let me say this.
And,
you know what? Hold on, Fidel. There is a limit to what you can do, man. I am not an advocate of violence, and I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to segue into this because this is a good segue. Play this Berlusconi clip. Now, the elite have a conundrum on their hands right now. They understand that as things get worse and people become more frustrated, they are more likely to lash out with physical violence. And Berlusconi, a lot of people think that Berlusconi just got punched. No, this guy had a model of some cathedral out in Italy. It was some kind of a metal model because if you see it, it's such a quick swipe. He barely touches him. He threw this model at Berlusconi from about, I don't know, point blank range. He must have been a foot away from him. He opened up his nose and his lip. And this does send a signal to some of the elitists because Berlusconi's one of their guys. They don't like them to be approachable by the commoners, by the public. And they do fear that somebody may be irrational and take the law into their own hands. Look, man, I'm no vigilante, period, amen. And I ain't happy with the IRS either. I understand that they never ratified the 16th Amendment. I've seen America freedom to fascism. I'm along those lines. But you know what? I pay my taxes because that's a battle I know Jason Burmes can't win. And if Jason Burmes was going to lose that battle and the IRS was going to send sheriffs to Jason Burmes' home to take me to jail, I'm going to go. I'm not shooting anybody. And I don't expect them to shoot me. Can we bring up this Berlusconi clip for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers? Play it while I'm talking. So here we go. Berlusconi's just standing there and he's discussing. And then just that quick, just someone swipes down. Now, had that been a throwing star or a knife, he could have really been injured. I mean, it happens like that, a split second, and it opened up his nose and mouth pretty good. So, you know, just somebody being in there, and that is from the frustration of the economies just being gutted, of the endless wars, of the march toward globalization. And again, I'm not defending what this guy did. I think what this guy did is quite dangerous. But the elite are looking at it like, you know what? Not only is it dangerous, but I could be next. So we have to put our control system in place to command the populace to do our will. All right, let's go on to some other callers. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Michael, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hello. I'm Michael. I'm 13. I have a question about fluoride.
Okay.
Okay, well, I was debating my teacher, mm-hmm. and I said that he said that some of the things you should drink is the tap water is one of them, and I said that, I know it's funny, I told him that the tap water has fluoride in it, and he didn't believe me, or he said, if any, it's parts per billion.
That's not true.
On the school's, I know, you're right.
Yeah,
on the school's computer, I pulled up the EPA site, and then I showed him. It said parts per thousand, and they could be lying anyway because they're a government site.
And let's not forget, and he probably said, well, fluoride's good for your teeth. Then you have to say to him, look, there's two separate types of fluoride. There's calcium fluoride, which is comes out naturally, and then there's stannous fluoride, which is an aluminum byproduct from waste. And a fluoride in mass doses can cause fluorosis, which causes bone cancer. Actually, one of the people in I know you're a young guy, 13. One of my friends who's in his early 20s, he's still in college. He's just wrapping it up, but he's in my fraternity. He gave a large presentation in one of his classes in fluoride, and the teacher's jaw was on the floor. The kids couldn't believe it. He brought in a thing of toothpaste, and he said, you know, you look at your toothpaste, and no one ever looks at the warning label. And he shows them the warning label that if they swallow a pea-sized amount, they need to be rushed to the emergency room to have their stomach pumped immediately. So I would just say this, man, you're really young. You have a lot of potential to wake up not only young minds around you, people in your grades or people a little bit older or younger, but also your teachers, man. I know that they don't like it when a young person tells them how things are, but they do listen, and you know, eventually it might click. So keep it up, Michael. All right, bro.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you got it, buddy. All right, let's go to our next Michael in California. Michael, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes. What's up, buddy? I heard him for a second. Yep.
Oh, sorry. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to you guys for about a couple of months, and it's pretty awesome what you guys are doing. So I just
thank
you guys. But I just wanted two quick questions. One about a little video game thing. Have you guys ever heard of the Metal Gear Solid series?
Yeah, oh, the Metal Gear Solid series is full of New World Order with Snake and what is it, the Twin Snakes? I've got a couple of them, but some of the cutscenes blatantly talk about New World Order and a one world government takeover.
Yeah, but the guy who makes it, Hideo Kojima, what he talks about in that new one for the PS3, pretty crazy. He talks about like how soldiers have like ID tag weapons and like instead of an army, all the people who fight are part of like privatized companies like Blackwater and mm-hmm. you know, other companies like that. And I just wanted to say, like, you know, what he talks about, like, does that have any relevance?
Well, they're moving towards that. You know, it's just like, you know, again, you start off as a kid fighting Nazis when you're younger in your video game experience, and then all of a sudden you're in the Middle East and you're fighting the enemy that we're seeing today, and you're gearing up to go into Afghanistan and Iraq. And when you have soldiers that have biometrically safe weaponry, which is what you're talking about, basically the weapon won't work unless your hand is on it, something you saw in like District 9. In other words, the alien technology only worked with aliens. That's something that is real. And they've talked about possibly putting RFID chips in human beings, and then they would have to have that RFID chip in order to operate that weapon, and then they could reprogram that weapon. When I interviewed Tommy Thompson, the ex-head of Health and Human Services back in 2007 in the lead-up to the 2008 election, he openly – and just type in Tommy Thompson, Jason Burmes – openly said, yes, RFID tags have huge military applications. They're going to be everywhere. They are the future. So it's a thing called predictive programming. And you know, one of the things that I really couldn't believe that may or may not be predictive programming, probably predictive programming, was G.I. Joe. Now, there's something I grew up with as a kid. Let's think about it for a second. There's a terrorist in the mountains that nobody can ever catch, and he's out there broadcasting videos that are, you know, just like the Bin Laden videos out there, and he's always one step ahead of the Joes. They can never get to him. And then they have this one episode where the Joes are flying through the city, okay? and they're following this plane, and all of a sudden the plane flies into what looks like the World Trade Center. It's two twin towers. Now, it doesn't crash into the World Trade Center, but here's where it gets even weirder. The thing opens up and it slides in like onto a runway. But then the next scene is unbelievable. The twin towers then are demolished. They come down exactly the way that they came down in 2001, and they reveal a rocket ship for the Cobra Command to get away. Is that possibly predictive programming? Sounds like it to me. I thank you for the call, Michael. Let's go to Noel in Illinois. Noel, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hey, Jason. How are you this evening?
Good, man.
All right. I encourage everyone to use startpage.com, that search engine that's unbelievable. It gives you tremendous confidence to find documents on the New World Order. I stumbled upon this the other day. Civil Inmate Labor Program, Headquarters Department of the...
Oh, yeah. Hello? I know all about that document. That document I took to the Glenn Beck Tea Parties. Rob Jacobson, who's out there, was with me. And basically, I brought about 20 of those documents with me. I had them in a stack with DVDs. So I was going around and I was interviewing people that were Glenn Beck worshipers, and we were talking about the FEMA camps, right, that don't exist. And then I said, well, you know, this Civilian Inmate Labor Program document, I believe it's from the late 90s, right?
It's it's a revised version, January 14th, 2005, Department of the Army, U.S., and it talks about us. We can't be working like near schools, around like pharmaceutical drugs. Mainly, we're going to be custodians and labor slaves for the Army. And they talk about controlling media coverage, a la Glenn Beck, who uses popular mechanics to quote unquote debunk FEMA camps.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I broke that document out. And I said, well, do you realize, sir, that this document has been around? I'm pretty sure it was the late 90s that it first came out. It has been revised several times. But the Civilian Inmate Labor Program, think about what that means. That means you're a civilian. You're a law-abiding citizen. They round you up. They put you in a labor camp where you are not paid for your efforts. And why? Well, for the greater good, of course, because the government loves you. In fact, the government is like a big, cuddly teddy bear that just wants to be loved and hugged, folks. That's what they'd have you believe as they lock you up in a slave camp to put you on ice. We'll be back. Final segment after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burks.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Silver Lungs Generator. Now you can produce pure and endless colloidal silver and deliver the solution directly into the bloodstream by breathing the solution through the lungs. The respiratory system is the first line of defense for airborne pathogens and viruses. The Silver Lungs Generator infuses the respiratory system with your self-produced nano-silver solutions and also delivers the silver nanoparticles instantly into the bloodstream. With continued legislation threatening the sale of nano-silver products, you can now produce pure and endless colloidal silver with the Silver Lungs Generator. Very easy to follow, step-by-step instructions are provided, making production fast and simple. Go to www.silverlungs.com today and learn more about the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. That's www.silverlungs.com.
Whoa!
InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. Final segment. If you missed any of this show, you're going to want to go get the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com following the program. We talked about Gitmo coming to the United States of America, Illinois style. You missed that, you need to see it. Played a bunch on ClimateGate as well. Played you the unbelievable clips from Call of Duty 2, Modern Warfare, and much, much, much more. We also discussed, I didn't get to discuss V, and that's probably a good thing to do right here. All right, so V the series is like a David Icke fan's wet dream, okay? It follows the same exact lines. Reptilian aliens from another multiverse or universe or whatever have come down to take over Earth, and they're the reason. They've already embedded themselves in society. Let me think. They've caused all the wars, and they're going to now heal the population. Now, here's where it gets weird. They had this thing running, and then after the fourth episode, they pulled it till March, more than likely to make a storyline change because they kept it so secret from hitting the blogosphere. A lot of people who were funding it didn't really know what the storyline is. So in the fourth episode, they start healing people in the world, you know, trying to gain their trust. But at the same time, they ask him, oh, do you have a cure for the common cold? And he says, no, we think you should probably take the flu shot for that. Even we haven't cured the common cold. Now, it turns out, and you find out later in the episode, that they are actually manufacturing a poisonous flu vaccine that they hope to give, that they're going to mix in with the regular flu vaccine in order to cull the population and kill the masses. So my inside info on that is I've talked to a buddy of mine out in Hollywood, and he knows one of the directors of the episodes, and he said that they flew him out. He was ready to do it. They paid him, and they said, look, we can't do it right now. We're moving the series until March, and we will get back to you when we start production again. So kind of interesting there. All right, I'm going to take one final caller. Remember, you missed any of the show, go get the podcast. Support the Info Warrior. Get Fabled Enemies. Make as many copies as possible. You can get Loose Change Final Cut right now for only $5. It's flying off the shelves at that price over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Chuck, in North Carolina, what you got for me?
Hey, Jason, just wanted to say a great show today. I really love when you delve into some of the stuff that Alex doesn't, I think it's better that he doesn't handle right now while he's handling all the eugenics front and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I love the way you guys have got that set up. When can we see you or hear you again on the weekdays?
We'll see. You know, I may be returning to my weekday show after Invisible Empire is wrapped up in mid-January is what we're looking at. Again, it's a February 12th release date. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, man. Maybe I'm going to be doing a five-night-a-week show. Maybe I'm going to be doing the weekly show. Maybe I'm going to be concentrating on films. It's all up in the air to me. You know, I signed a one-year contract to come out here, and Alex has been nothing but good to me. I really enjoy hosting his show. I enjoy hosting this show. I enjoy making the movies, but you know, my whole thing, Chuck, is I'm not here to preach to the choir. I'm here to do projects that reach the masses. You know, that's why I got involved in that Fight Star video. That's why I make these films. That's why I kind of travel around. So we'll see what happens, man. But one thing's for sure, I'm going to keep up the fight no matter what I'm doing. I'm going to try to bring the information to the masses. I thank you for the call, and I thank all of you out there for listening to the Info Warrior on this Sunday, December 13th. Thank you.
Same stale shoes.